Well, the mood remains enthusiastic, optimistic. It's a national holiday today, and more people are out on the streets today relative to yesterday, particularly during the daytime. Dusk has fallen here, night has fallen, and the crowds are swelling by the minute. I think it's fair to say that these are some of the largest protests Hong Kong has ever seen. There's certainly been nothing like it since 1989 and the Tiananmen Square protests. Generally speaking, though, the mood on the street is one of, I would say, euphoria, tinged with a certain amount of caution. There's obviously an element of doubt about whether or not the authorities here might at some point decide that enough is enough and crack down on these democracy activists who are out en masse.
Well, what do the demonstrators hope to accomplish? What is their point?
Well, I think it depends who you talk to. The majority of people out on the streets at night, it's fair to say, are the under 30s. Now, these are people who are disenfranchised politically as well as economically in Hong Kong. You know, they're young, intelligent people with you know, they would have great prospects almost anywhere in the world, anywhere else in the world. Hong Kong is an incredibly expensive city to live in. It's prohibitively expensive to buy property here. These are people who are working very hard as students to get degrees, but they don't see much of a future in this special administrative region of China that they live in. So you have these youngsters who are very idealistic. Although they're thinking of their futures, they're very idealistic, and they really are struggling for universal suffrage, the promise of universal suffrage that was made to Hong Kong by China. And elections in 2017 were supposed to be one man, one vote, and the Hong Kong people were supposed to be able to choose, select the candidates that they wanted put up for that election. Now, the other groups are more radicalized, perhaps older people, the League of Social Democrats, for example. These are people that are just basically anti-China and anti-government. They're not as, I suppose, ideologically pure, perhaps, as one might argue the students are. They basically are fed up with one-party rule, and they want an end to the mainland Beijing's influence in Hong Kong. Now, I think the reality is that both groups are going to find it difficult to have their expectations met, but there is unfortunately no kind of meeting of the two groups. They're quite disparate in their aspirations and expectations.
As you alluded to, the Chinese government is not generally known for its concessions. Are there any signs it will give in, or are there any signs officials might go back to violence to end the stalemate?
Well, that is the question on everybody's minds. Everybody out on the streets, you ask them, they're not entirely certain. I mean, everybody will say to you that Beijing really is an unknown entity. The majority of people, I think, believe that Hong Kong is so it's such a global city, and the media is here en masse, that Beijing wouldn't actually have the temerity, I suppose, to crack down in the way that they did perhaps in Tiananmen in 1989. But the reality is that the Hong Kong riot police have already shot over 80 canisters of tear gas at the people here. And that is very, very unusual. Now, Sunday night there was an incident. People were out on the streets. It was very happy, jovial. And they were shot at by the riot squad. And that has caused a massive backlash against the authorities here. I think it's taken the authorities by surprise, actually. As a result of that, the police have been ordered to keep a very, very low profile. And you actually don't see them very frequently at the moment. The whole management of the crowds here is being organized by the students themselves, by the protesters themselves, and they're doing it very, very efficiently and well. But it's very, very obvious that there isn't a police presence, and that is clearly a decision by the authorities here, perhaps oriented at not fomenting more tension. But it is the question on everybody's minds: what potentially might Beijing do? And there are people out on the streets who are old enough to remember Tiananmen and who don't trust the mainland government. And so the kind of sense of euphoria and optimism that the youngsters have it contrasts occasionally with the pragmatism, I think, of the older generations.
Well, then, what about the protesters? Is there a possibility that after a few days they might just wander on back home?
Well, I think if you look at previous protests in Hong Kong, the Occupy movement that existed a couple of years ago, the Occupy Wall Street, we had an offshoot of that here. That protest petered out. The Hong Kong government tried to impose a curriculum, a nationalistic curriculum on the students here. They protested for a week. The government backtracked, cancelled that plan, and everybody went home happy and safe. This is bigger. This is much bigger. I'm looking out of the 35th floor window over the crowds in front of me, and I can see people as far as it's possible to see. I think there's a sense that it's a public holiday here at the moment. It's a 3-day. It's called Golden Week. It's a long public holiday. I think the authorities hope that at the end of Golden Week, certainly by Monday next week, maybe the majority of the people will have drifted off the streets and gone home, and they will choose to protest in other ways, perhaps less blatant. I think some people think, if you listen to analysts who report on the stock market, some people are beginning to factor in the possibility of perhaps a crackdown in the way that the authorities crack down, the mainland authorities crack down in Tiananmen. I personally don't. I hope that doesn't happen. I would be surprised if it did. And the last possibility, I suppose, is that the Hong Kong government acquiesces and gives the people the opportunity to choose the candidates for the 2017 chief executive election. The problem with that option is that that decision doesn't really rest in the hands of the Hong Kong authorities. That really is a decision that has to be made by Beijing. And I think, you know, a lot of listeners around the world will know, a lot of readers around the world will know that face, you know, the capacity to you know, stick to your guns is a significant factor in Chinese society, and the Chinese government might be scared of losing face if it seemed to backtrack. But those are the three scenarios, I think, that we face currently, and the majority of people, I'm sure, would hope that things would just merely calm down and people will return to their homes Monday. I'm not certain. I think it might go on longer than that. The occupation of the Central Business District might go on longer than that. But fingers crossed, it doesn't turn. You know, nobody resorts to violence.